it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
Even if you're not a fan of the sports, it's fair to say that the contribution of the GAA to life in Ireland is huge. But in recent years, the organisation has used its grassroots network in a different way, in a number of different ways, one in which sees it pioneer a number of positive health initiatives, including the one we're talking about this morning, the Healthy Clubs Project. Following an independent evaluation by the Centre for Health Behaviour Research at Waterford IT, it's been revealed that this project, the Healthy Club Project, is showing significant and lasting improvements to the health of communities across Ireland. Now there are calls for further clubs to get involved and to help make the GAA and Ireland as a whole a healthier place for everybody to enjoy. Dr. Aoife Lane joins us first of all this morning. She's head of the Department of Sport and Health Science at Athlone IT, chairperson of the Women's GPA, and has also overseen the evolution of the HCP, the Healthy Clubs Project, to date. Aoife, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks for joining us. Maybe just tell us about the Healthy Clubs Project first of all. How does it work?
Yeah, well, I guess, and I know your speakers will testify to this, GA clubs are usually very active in this space anyway. They tend to engage with their community, whether it's for, you know, to provide some type of a service, whether it's holding talks or running different events. So we're quite used to that. And I guess the GA spotted a really good opportunity here to harness that and formalise it a little bit. So a number of years ago, they set up the Healthy Club Project, where 16 clubs were, I suppose, the pilot clubs, and they went for it and have probably set a trail for a whole sequence of events that really try to embed this properly in the GA club to really recognise it and respect it. So I'm sure lots of the clubs around Clare now have a healthy club officer. So that's a formal appointment of someone in the club to take this on and to lead it, which is massive. It's the only governing body of sport in the world that has done something like this, probably because it's so relevant to the GAA, I suppose.
It very much ties in with its ethos of being of a parish and of a community.
Yeah. I mean, the GAA club was always typically the focal point of the community, and that might have been lost a little bit, you know, over the last 10, 20 years, not for the fault of the GAA club, but just there's a lot more going on, and people are very busy. But this has really, really re-established the GA club as that central hub of activity. And what's happening is we're seeing that people who aren't your standard GA person, or maybe didn't see themselves as being able to play hurling or camogie or football or whatever, are now seeing that they're relevant to the club as well, and that's massive. One person said to me last year that they really feel the GA club is opening its gates again, which is, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
I guess, really.
Absolutely. And it is something that, if you're not from a GAA background, I imagine there's a lot of people that can relate to that or would certainly like to see it happening in their areas as well, that if you're not into Gaelic football or camogie or hurling, you may have felt that the GA club wasn't a place for you, but this seems to be combating that.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're getting people from the non-standard background but who have so much to give in terms of time and maybe have experience or even jobs in the health industry at large, and they feel that they can contribute that way. You don't really need to know anything about the games to be a part of this, but what we're seeing is that people are becoming members, they're supporting the club more, they're, you know, getting involved in fundraising, so they are sort of seeing the...
Sure.
It's benefiting the club as well. It's not to think that this was completely a separate activity. It actually should be completely integrated with what the club does on a day-to-day basis.
And no harm with that. And we know a lot of clubs have had their own struggles in recent years with numbers and immigration, etc. Go back though to the Healthy Clubs Project. What does it entail? So your club has got this healthy officer, but what's new?
Well, I guess what happened was you were trained, first of all, in maybe how to, and it's very important here, it's not something that you would deal with every problem that comes up in the community. A lot of it is just signposting. You would set up a work group and you would identify a work plan around certain topics that the GA would have, I suppose, expertise in, or at least links to specialists in. So that might be physical activity or healthy eating or anti-bullying. So you submit your work plan and you get a lot of support from your county committee, because there is one in every county, and also there's provincial work groups, and there's always at least two national events throughout the year as well. You would report on what you're doing, you try to evaluate it as best you can, you try to picture it, you try to make it visible in terms of social media and engaging with it that way as well. And sometimes you're recruited to specific programs, like a Men on the Move program ran this year, which is, you know, it's bespoke for men who are over a certain age, maybe at risk for ill health, and it's delivered by your local sports partnership and physical activity officer. And that model is really one we want to move forward with, where the healthy club is given access to these types of programs delivered by specialist agencies. Like, we don't expect any club to know everything or to be able to do everything. We would like them to be able to partner with people who can help them, because it's time consuming, it's hard. It's usually people who've a lot on anyway.
Of course,
So it's trying to link them in with programs and ideas that are already in place and that have been proven to work. You know, so it's offering opportunities from that respect. And then there's an award system around becoming a healthy club and that being awarded to your parish. You can become smoke-free. There's lots of different bonuses, I guess, to being attached to it. And one of the big ones is simply having a network of people around the country who are doing something similar. And you come together quite a lot and you learn a huge amount from what other people are doing in other clubs.
Okay.
And we're trying to build that. That was one of the big things we found, was that people really learn from each other and we're great support for each other and we're probably motivated by what other clubs are doing.
Stay with us, Aoife. We're joined as well this morning by Karen Williamson. She's the Health and Welfare Officer for Partine GAA Club. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome and thank you for joining us. Yours was the first club in Clare to achieve this healthy club status. So I don't know if that's entirely down to you, but I know it's probably a bigger effort than that.
team effort, yeah.
Absolutely. What did you do though as a club, as that team effort as you describe it? How did you get such status? What did it entail?
It is a huge undertaking. Firstly, I was the first appointed health and wellbeing officer to the club. So it was a blank canvas for me. I was a bit overwhelmed to start with, but once we were given Healthy Club Project, once we applied for that and we were given status of that, that actually helped to develop my role, we'll say, as the officer, because it was there to be rolled out, basically. Mm. The guidance was there. So what we did, and I suppose the mantra from the Healthy Club Project was always just really about, you know, making small changes to make greater differences. And, you know, I was exactly as Aoife described. I was that mum on the sideline, you know, looking at the kids playing, thinking, God, I'd love to get 30 minutes of exercise in myself. I was approached by Gráinne Barry, one of the executive members, to see would I, you know, get involved at this level. I did, and I took it from the start to say, okay, a small change, what change could we make to our community, to our club?
Yeah.
And the first thing that we did was we approached executives about going no smoking pitch side. And again, you know, it seems like a small undertaking, but there's a lot of in the background work to be done and getting approval. And but what we did was we did a countdown to the no smoking, and we launched it on the Lawn and Glubbin, the family day, basically.
Yeah.
And the chairman of the club then signed the approval. So it was out there in the public then to see that we were the first club in Clare to go no smoking pitch side. And, you know, it's great for everybody in the club to see that we stand behind this initiative. But then once we'd formed our own little group, we started off with about a group of eight. Of course, that dwindled over time. But we looked to see, you know, what does our community need in turn? What would make a difference to our community under the kind of the headings that the Healthy Club had provided for us, which would be things like physical and mental fitness, healthy eating, social inclusion. So we looked initially, again, towards sort of physical fitness. And we started, in conjunction with Clare and Limerick Sports Partnership, we started Operation Transformation Walking Clubs. And we ran a program with that, and that was very successful. And we moved that onwards then to pitch side, because we were taking the walking away from the club.
Yeah.
What we decided was actually be very beneficial to all those mums and dads standing around waiting for training to finish. So we developed the Mamas and Papas moving group. And yeah, so this was all about, again, increasing fitness. So we did a Couch to 5K program. So we started very basics, and everybody was invited to join, all ages, all abilities. And we started with, you know, very basics.
Yeah, yeah.
1 minute walk, 1 minute run, 2 minute break. But we completed the program in October, having completed a 5K run. For people who'd never ran, this is a huge achievement. And again, it was a small initiative, but we still have people now still running as a result of it, and we hope to rerun the program again in the springtime.
I know you talked about the small team that was driving this, but wider than that, have you had much of a buy-in?
We'll say from
club members in general. Are there many mums and dads
absolutely
doing them runs, you know?
Now the numbers will dwindle, but again, it's all down to training sessions and, you know, weather, etc.
Of course, yeah.
But the buy-in from the club generally has been phenomenal, you know, starting from the executive down. You know, I've been very lucky. And that's one of the things I would say to anybody going forward with the healthcare project is the first thing you need to do is get your buy-in and your sit on the executive and get your buy-in from your executive, because, you know, really it's got to come from the top down.
Sure.
And once you've got the support, which I had, you can open up anything. And one of the initiatives that we ran was that we opened up a men's shed. And actually what happened there was executive gave a support cabin that we could offer to the men locally, and the men then took over and they've done a fantastic job. We've got a fantastic facility now for men in the area to
fantastic.
Come together and meet. Yeah.
Aoife, there's a lot of different work that's been done. That's just one club in Partain in a small corner of County Clare, but
yeah.
I guess it's an embodiment of what you were talking about before, the changes that can be made, the ways in which the wider community can be brought in under the umbrella.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's fantastic. And that's kind of really what makes us alive and relevant to people when they see what a club has done. And it usually takes a champion. You know, it usually takes someone to take it on and hopefully to identify support and maybe to pass it on as you've done to other people within it. But it does transform clubs. And, you know, you likely over time see benefits on and off the field, you know, in terms of it's getting people more engaged.
Yeah.
And that probably will translate back on. It's very important that it's still embedded in what the club does, which is to provide games and activity for young people and for people right through the lifespan. So, you know, we don't want to see it as a separate activity. I mean, that type of work, I would imagine, is hugely acknowledged in the club in Partain. And
Absolutely.
You know, and that's massively important that it's not seen as a separate. And even to have executive support from the outset, is
absolutely.
Huge.
Yeah,
yeah,
very important.
Know, it's huge because they're on your side then, and you know, it's
and we're all
it's fantastic.
Together for the same purpose. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Has it been a lot of work, Karen? Has it been tough? Has it been worth it?
It, you know, when you get to the accreditation point and you're handed, you know, your flag to say you have achieved this, you absolutely feel it then. But whilst you're going through it, it is tough. I mean. You've got the financial constraints, time constraints. Like, I'm a working mum. I'm trying to get to training with my kids, but I still have to motivate the community to come walking with us or running with us or, you know, and then it's the bureaucracy of everything, paperwork, you know, admin, you know, how are we covered in terms of insurance, pass, you know, so, and again, anything to do with the GAA, generally the people that are helping you are those that are already openly committed.
Yeah.
So you're pulling off the same people all of the time. So what I would say to clubs if they're getting involved is try and bring people from the outside in, completely external people, you know, people like I was approached because I was a mum, but also because I was a nurse. But, you know, there's plenty more people out there. You have to think kind of outside the box to get those people in. And it won't always be, you know, the coach that's already committed to five sessions. It'll be somebody else off in a corner, maybe a granddad who's brilliant at, you know, admin. And bring those people in. And that then helps to keep the drive and momentum alive, you know, because you'll have people that have, I suppose, the energy to keep it going, you know. It's very time-constraining. But worthwhile.
I mentioned though, Karen, in my introduction that research that's been done from Waterford, which showed how the programme is having significant and lasting improvements to the health of communities across Ireland. If you're getting people running in Partain and going from the couch to doing a 5K, that's an obvious example of that, and not the only one that you mentioned either. So all that work and yeah, look at all these things, they take time, but it definitely sounds like it's been worth it.
Absolutely, and I would encourage anybody to get involved in it because you can see the results across the community. You know, as I say, we now have a full men's shed who are helping us to bring our club forward. You know, they're helping with, you know, the grounds maintenance, security. And it's just lovely to see, like, we had a lovely night with the men's shed where the intermediate players came and they sang, and, you know, so you had a cross-section of the community all together under one roof. That's success, you know. So that's where we're coming from, really.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why I encourage people to get involved.
And Aoife, where does the program as a whole then go from here? Are you trying to roll it out to every club across the country eventually, or what's the goal?
Yeah, that's the ambition. I think 150 clubs are going for it next time round, an extra probably, I suppose, 60 or that from what we currently have. So I'd say it'll be fairly oversubscribed. I mean, when you hear Karen talk there about Partain, you'd be thinking it's a no-brainer, really. You know, and it can revitalise a club and a community and activate people in a different way. So, but in time, the the ambition is to roll it out to every single club, that they'll be able to avail of these opportunities and be deemed a healthy club. And I mean, it literally is something that gets the club moving again in every sense of the word. And anyone, any club, who's, and there's small rural clubs in Clare, I'm from Galway, it's the same thing. It could be the making of the place, you know, to engage in something like this and to just revive. It's hard, like it is a struggle, but I think the rewards are worthwhile. And I mean, it's proven that the numbers show that this works, and clubs are completely reorientating back to the community and having a positive impact. And they feel a responsibility here. There's an onus. It always has been there. And, you know, it's really good to see that so alive again.
Absolutely, indeed. It's great to hear such a positive initiative, and long may it continue. There's more details, I presume, from the GAA website for clubs who are looking to get involved as well, Aoife?
I think if you go to ga.ie/community, you'll see the application form. It's the 29th of January is the closing date, and you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. I think it's about showing that there is interest. It's about showing that there is a group of people willing to take it on, and it's very important that clubs identify what might work for them. You know, that it's not prescribed. So if you feel you want to do something, my own club in Galway looked at social inclusion and totally worked around that particular goal. Others might take physical activity. Others might take a group of people like parents, maybe like that Bartine did a little bit of. So it's really to go and sit back and try to identify a few people to drive it and hopefully be successful. But everybody will have access to this in time.
Okay, Aoife, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And Karen, the best of luck. Keep the good work going in Partine in 2018.
Thanks very much.
All the very best. Take care, guys. Thanks very much. You heard there from Aoife Lane, and she's been overseeing the evolution of the Healthy Clubs project to date, and also from Karen Williamson, the Health and Welfare Officer in Partine GAA Club, laying the challenge down to everybody else listening to this morning. If you're in a GAA club, no reason why you can't aim to do the same, and gaa.ie/community has got further details on how you can apply as well for your club to get involved in the Healthy Club project in 2018. Now, before we go any further, I just wanted to take a note to acknowledge a message that's been sent out by Clare County Council in the last little while. They are reminding you of some of the warnings and the weather warnings that you've been hearing about in our news as well. There are currently 3 weather warnings in effect for County Clare, and I've alluded to it a couple of times, but I might just take this opportunity just to make sure you're fully aware of what's coming and what the forecasters are telling us. First of all, it's going to be windy. There is a warning for western coastal counties of strong winds. This is Storm Fionn. Strong westerly winds with mean wind speeds of up to 80 kilometres an hour, gusts of up to 120 kilometres per hour, strongest near gusts. That warning is in place from this afternoon at 3 o'clock until 3 o'clock tonight, Wednesday morning. So essentially a very windy evening and night, early part of the night certainly expected there. And the problem with that as well is because those same coastal counties have got a status yellow, which is the lowest weather warning. This is for high seas, and that means that there is an increased risk of coastal flooding, obviously around the time of high tides, because the wind warning is a status orange alert, which is a relatively significant one, and then you've got the possibility of coastal flooding as well because of the high seas. So it is something to be aware of if you're in areas which could potentially be affected. And as well as all that, as if it wasn't enough, we are also in the midst of a snow ice warning covering the entire country, with snow showers affecting mainly the north, but extending over to most areas tonight and, last night and during Tuesday morning. And I did see some wintry showers in Ennis and other parts of the county on my commute this morning as well. Some accumulations of snow are likely, particularly over high ground. And you mentioned, and I told you already, of slippery conditions on one road. That could be the case where you are as well. So if you're out and about, do take care. We will hopefully not have to tell you about any serious weather-related issues going forward, but if we do have to, we will of course, so do keep it tuned to Clare FM. We will be talking about Ryanair's new baggage rules when we're back in a couple of minutes' time.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your day with up to 38 departures each week to London. Explore more today on shannonairport.ie.